Praise the Lord and glory to the Most High. Thank you. I just want to welcome everyone here to the Remnant Call broadcast. And tonight is going to be another special episode with two exciting guests. But first, just let me give a few words. I just want to say thank you so much to Rebecca Park Tortillo last week that was on our show. And if you didn't listen to last week about the Bride of Christ, please tune into that. Along with all the other archives, you can catch us at remnantcall.com. Check us out on our Facebook page at facebook.com/remnantcall and subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search out Remnant Call. We'll be right there in the top, and we just want to say thank you so much. Well, with that, I just want to say I am so excited because tonight one of our earliest guests on the Remnant Call is back tonight for a special episode, and that is our brother Benjamin Brook. He is here with us tonight, and also another guest is going to be here with us. Michael Odetello is going to be joining us here tonight, and I'll tell you, folks, God is going to bless, because every time Benjamin is on or I've talked to him, God has always been there, and so I'm just thankful for that. And with that, we are not going to mess around tonight, because this is going to be a two-part program tonight. We're going to pre-record both episodes, and so we'll play this one this Thursday night. We're on Wednesday, so it'll be tomorrow evening playing live when you hear it, and then we're going to play the next episode the following week. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and get our guests in here. Brother Benjamin, are you there with me?
Yes, Frank. Shalom.
Shalom, brother. Brother Michael, are you there also?
I'm here. Yeah, God bless you, brother. God bless everyone listening to.
Benjamin and Michael, I'm just glad you are here with us tonight. And tonight's episode, there is hope in Zion. Brother Benjamin, with what's going on in the world right now, with all the confusion going on there, and even confusion within the remnant, there's so many different voices. We need in this hour to hear from the Lord, and we need to hear that there is hope in Zion. And so I'm just thankful that you're here. Brother Benjamin, take us down where you want us to go tonight, and we're just going to sit back for the ride. And may God just bless. And I'm going to ask that you would just open us up with a word of prayer, and let's get going.
Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture says men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that would be wise counsel in this hour. So, Father, we do pray in Jesus' name that your word of truth would come forth from these earthen vessels in this hour, that a word of life and a word of hope, a word of encouragement and a word of truth that is filled with faith would come forth by the power of your Holy Spirit unto the edification of your people, that the remnant would be encouraged, equipped, and empowered to begin to stand in the time that is at hand. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name, and we thank
Amen.
You for all
Hallelujah.
Good things.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Benjamin, just take us down there as hope in Zion. We want to hear about it. God bless and just lead us in this journey tonight.
Hallelujah. Brother, first of all, thanks for the invitation. Great to be back on Remnant Call. And Frank, you are such a blessing in so many ways, and I thank God for you. And I thank God for what you're doing with Remnant Call, and I pray the Lord would, you know, prosper and multiply it greatly. And second, I want to thank Brother Michael for being here with us. Michael is my prayer partner, and we have had some wonderful times praying together, and we've had some wonderful anointed conversation. And so tonight's program will be somewhat, you know, it's our vision and our hope that we would be able to let the listeners in on some of the conversational reflections that Michael and I have shared on the precious things in the Word of God. And tonight's message, there is hope in Zion. Michael, you coined the title after I shared a bunch of scriptures that I got in prayer. But we're gonna get right into it. But before we touch on the scriptures that we've chosen for tonight, before we started the program, I just asked the Lord, was there any specific word that we should start with? And I opened my Bible to Psalm 42, and our listeners, if you've got your Bible with you, if you want to turn to Psalm 42, and there's a word in Psalm 42, I believe Psalm 42 was written while King David had been fleeing for his life from King Saul, and he was actually had fled to what is now the part of the land of Jordan, And he was downcast. I mean, the future had never looked darker for King David. He'd had the anointing of Samuel the prophet. He'd had the promises of the favor and the blessing of God. And he had received those things by faith, but yet the fulfillment had not yet come. Rather, he had been persecuted. He had been falsely accused of treason. And now he was literally running for his life. And in Psalm 42, King David writes, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" David's circumstances were about as far from blessed, or the appearance of the blessing of God, as you could get. He was homeless. He had lost everything. He was living survival existence, sleeping in caves, wandering as a refugee, in effect. And then in verse 5, David writes, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" And he's trying to comfort himself, because David was he was at a point of despair. He was at the point of the end of himself, and he asks himself the question, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan." And I first received this scripture in prayer from the Lord literally in the year 1998. It was shortly after the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, came out in its first publication. And I had actually traveled to Israel and had gone on to Jordan. And something had happened while I was in the land of Israel and while I was in Jordan. An event occurred that just crushed me. And here I was. I mean, I should have been having, a wonderful time traveling through Israel and then I'm visiting friends in Jordan. Instead, I was crushed. My soul was cast down. And when you go through those fires, you can't really sleep very well. And, I had woken up in the middle of the night, and it was probably 3-4 o'clock maybe in the morning. And I'm standing outside this little house in Aqaba, Jordan, looking down at the Gulf of Aqaba towards the Red Sea. And I see the green minarets of the Islamic mosques, and they start their chanting. And I am I'm depressed, I'm disquieted, I'm cast down. And I prayed and asked the Lord to give me a scripture, and I opened my Bible to Psalm 42. "Why am I cast down? Why is my soul cast down? I will remember the Lord from the land of Jordan." And here I was sitting, I was standing in Jordan when God gave me that scripture. But, I think it is also a prophetic scripture for the remnant who are going to make their way out of the kingdom of the beast. And it's going to be, we've got tough days ahead of us. It's not sugarcoat the world that we live in. There's a great tribulation coming. The world around us is already falling apart. And a lot of people are fretting. A lot of people are nervous. A lot of people are already feeling cast down because of the circumstances that are pressing in upon the whole earth. It's not just the Christians who are under pressure. The whole world is under pressure, economic pressure, as the economy continues to fall apart. And, the country's tearing itself apart politically now between the left and the right. And, it looks like we're headed to a civil war at some point. And the international order, there's serious discussions about the potential for World War III, which a few years ago people would have thought you were crazy to mention World War III. But today, the leaders of the world are discussing that the nations of the earth appear to be marching down a path that will lead to world war. And with world war, there will be a world economic collapse. And we know the red horse of the book of Revelation is war. And we know the black horse of economic collapse follows. And on the red and the black horse follow together immediately after the end of the reign of the white horse. And, the white horse, of course, for those who can see it clearly, was a good power. The white horse had a crown, and and went forth conquering, went forth waging war, but yet wearing white was presenting itself to be a power for good, a power for democracy, a power for freedom. And of course, the truth is that White Horse was being used by the forces of the Antichrist for the early stages of establishing a one-world government. And the identity of the White Horse is really not that complicated, because the rider on the White Horse lived in a white house. And so, you know, we are on the precipice of the day of the Lord. And in my humble opinion, we don't have too many years left before we will be in the midst of these events. And when this crisis hits, and it's going to escalate, but as the waves of crisis roll upon our land, a lot of people are going to be tempted to be disquieted, and people are going to become afraid, and people are going to be filled with anxiety and fear. And yet David in his darkest hour was encouraging himself, hope in God. We will yet praise him, and we will remember the Lord. The remnant will remember the name of the Lord from the land of Jordan, which of course is where the sanctuary, where the remnant will flee to during the great tribulation, because we're not going to stay in the kingdom of the beast. And now some of the church thinks they're going to disappear in a preacher rapture. This message is probably not for them. They're not going to be here to be part of it. But for the rest of us who will be waiting the event at the last trumpet, when those who are left alive will meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, as he's on his way to Jerusalem to take back the kingdom and take back his planet, this message is for the remnant who will be here, who will survive and endure and overcome in this hour. And there is truly hope in Zion. But I just thought it so beautiful that in the darkest of hours, and, you know, for me in Jordan, Frank, almost, well, at this point, 18, 19 years ago, this was one of the darkest hours of my life. And then God gave me this scripture that I will remember you from the land of Jordan. And I, to this day, I remember standing in Jordan in the middle of the night, looking out into the utter darkness. And you know, and God resolved everything. Think of all the trials we've been through, right? Think of all the tribulation that we've already endured. And, you know, how many of us have been through one trial or another? Some of them seem small in hindsight. Some of them were rather large. But the Lord brought us through all of them. You know, and as he told his disciples, and his words are true, even unto our last generation, he said, be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And through the power of his name, we too are going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And that's what this message is all about tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. It's such a blessing to be here.
Hallelujah.
Michael,
yeah,
what do you
think,
brother? I just
want to add a few things to the things that you said. It's amazing that God gave you this scripture today, Psalm 42. When we hear what David is saying here, it says, as the heart pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Now, there was a very important event that happened in the life of David. You would remember, and all the listeners will remember, what happened when Ziklag was sacked by this band of Amalekites. And the people were so distressed. Right now, there's distress of nations. There is distress in the church. There is distress everywhere. And even though some may not know it, at the right time, it's going to become very, very visible, and everyone is going to see it. Now, what happened with David? When all these guys said, oh, they've lost their wives, they thought they've lost their children, they've lost all their belongings, there was much distress amongst the followers of David. And the people were even thinking of stoning him. And the Bible says because the people's souls were, they were really, really in a bad shape at that time. Every man was disgusted. Every man wanted something and wanted to blame it on somebody. When you look around now, there is a lot of dealings that is going on from God, because the Bible says there is hope in Zion. Zion is the place of our hope. That is the mountain that God is calling us to. That is the spiritual experience that God wants us to have. And look at these people going around with David. And you would think that these guys, with the kind of exposure that they've got, walking around with David, you would think that they've got some spiritual thing with them. They've got the oil, they've got Christ, they've got the word in them. I mean, look around. How many Christians do you see really dwelling on the word? How many people are really meditating on the word? How many Christians are really going to fastings and praying? How many are ensuring that the oil is not only in the lamp, but it is also in the vessel? The Holy Spirit is not just walking with our spirit. The Holy Spirit is now moving to the realm of our soul. How many people are getting ready? Now, these guys talked about stoning David, and what Benjamin said is so apt when he was talking about this, Psalm 42. This was just coming to me. These people talked about stoning David, and David, the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. That is the key. That is the key. That separates David from Saul. When God asked Saul, he gave him a commandment to go after the same Amalekites. The Bible said Saul took the fattest things. He saved the animals, the best parts of them. He disobeyed the commandments of God and said he should kill them off. He didn't. He came back. He brought everything to Israel, everything that was meant for slaughter. He brought everything to Israel. And when Samuel confronted Saul, Saul said, the people made me to do it. The people. God is looking for a people, a remnant, that will not follow the status quo. God is raising a body of people that will only hear from his lips. The greatest example we can have here in the Old Testament probably is Jeremiah himself, when God spoke to him. So David in this situation encouraged himself in the Lord, and there are many situations and circumstances that will be coming our way in this end time, and we are going to have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, because we are the seed, the same seed that David is. That is the same seed that we have. And God is raising up a remnant, and God is calling his people. And there is no way, there is no opportunity to look back. The Bible says if a man puts his hand on the plow and he looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom of God. The times have changed. God means business. And everyone has to understand that. So I really understand this Psalm 42, and I thank God that God gave that Psalm to Benjamin, and I'm sure it's a word for the remnant. It's a word for the remnant. We have to get very, very close to God at this time. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We all walk through that valley, Michael. And as a body, as a people, we're going to walk through the Great Tribulation together. Now, I know a lot of prophets, a lot of people are saying that we've had a reprieve, and that because of the election of President Trump, that there's going to be more time, and that the day of the Lord is not at hand, and we've had literally a stay of execution. It's the word used by some. Well, I'm here to tell you that those might be wonderful ideas, and the people that proposed those thoughts may have been really well-meaning and well-intentioned. And I'm glad that Donald Trump won the presidency compared to the alternative. I thank God a candidate who would stand up for the truth is is now our president. But it would be a mistake to assume that his election has somehow changed the timing of the day of the Lord.
Amen to that.
Because the opposite is true. This is the fuse. This is the trigger mechanism to ignite the chaos that will escalate into something on the level of civil war in our country before the war of Ezekiel 38, which is an attack on America and on Israel by our enemies in Russia, China, and the Arab terrorist states. So, you know, the day of the Lord is coming at the appointed time. The election of Donald Trump is no doubt a blessing compared to the alternative, but it hasn't changed the timing. I've got some scriptures I wanted to share tonight for those who understand. And if you don't understand that the day of the Lord is at hand, that's okay. Just wait. By summer, I think it'll be evident to all. Now, could I be wrong? Could we have another year? Sure. Yes. Probably not, given the things we know from the timing in the scripture. And for those of you who are not up to speed on the timing, and I'm not telling you the day or the hour, okay, so please hold your objections. I'm not telling you the day or the hour of the return of the Lord. I'm telling you the season. We were admonished to watch Bible prophecy by the Lord because we were expected to see something. We were expected to see these things coming to pass. Well, there are two dates in Holy Scripture, two time periods that are referenced. I just want to mention them briefly. The first is in Psalm 90, written by Moses, in which we are told the length of years of the nation of Israel will be 70. And if by strength, it'll be 80. Well, the nation of Israel was born in 1948, and the 70 years is in the year 2018. The second time period revealed in Scripture is in Daniel's 70-week prophecy in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. We are told the circuit of time from the restoration of Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 62 weeks, 62 seven-year periods, and seven seven-year periods, or 49 years. Modern scholars have made countless errors in Bible prophecy, one of which is they add those two time periods together. Isaac Newton understood these scriptures, and he could see that they represented the first and second coming. And he calculated from the commandment of Artaxerxes in 444 B.C. until the birth of Jesus Christ was exactly the 62 weeks. And so the 7 weeks represents the compass of time before the birth of the man-child of Revelation 12. And that would follow 49, or perhaps we add the Jubilee year, the 50th year, 49 or 50 years following the restoration of Jerusalem, which took place in June of 67, Jerusalem became capital of Israel again. So if we add 50 years to the year that ended, the spiritual year, which includes June of 67, ended in March of 68, using the sacred calendar, not the civil calendar, we roll forward 49 years, we end up in 2017. If we count the following Jubilee, we get the same, 2018. So we are on the verge of the day of the Lord. That is my witness. I'm just a man. I'm entitled to an opinion. It's not a prophecy, but like a broken clock, which is correct twice a day, these events are going to come to pass in the very near future. And for those of us who are still trying to hide our sin, this is a problem. If we're still trying to hold on to our sin, the day of the Lord is going to bring us trouble, and it's going to bring us fire. God's going to burn that sin right out of our lives if we belong to Him. For those who do not really know the Lord, for the many who are seeking to enter the kingdom of God on the wide road that leads to destruction, the day of the Lord will bring you your destiny. And destruction comes from the Almighty. And for the wicked who have no interest at all in the things of the Lord, the day of the Lord means your party is over, people. The judgment of Almighty God is about to begin. But for the remnant of God, the day of the Lord is actually a day of deliverance and a day of blessing. And in reality, it shall be very well with the remnant in the day of the Lord. I want to share a couple of scriptures first. Just, I want to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted. Let your heart be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So how do you know that you've been converted and your sins have been blotted out? If you've been born again and you're converted in your heart as compared to convinced in your head, times of refreshing shall come upon you from the very presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And that word for restitution, it literally means a repayment, the return of what was stolen, or the return of what was damaged. Restitution is a legal concept that requires the offender, the guilty party, as part of their judgment, to actually restore the money or the property damages that were visited upon the victim. So here the scripture is telling us, when the Lord comes, a time of payback, a time of restitution, of repayment of all things, everything is going to be restituted. And people are going to receive what is rightfully theirs. The people of God who walk in faith and holiness before the Lord are going to receive the restoration of all the things of the kingdom of God. All the blessings of the kingdom of God are going to be restored unto them. The church that walks in apostasy and compromise, they're going to receive the restitution of their sin, which will be in the form of a judgment unto righteousness. And the wicked, they're going to receive what is theirs for eternity, which is eternal and infinite judgment of God. This will come in the time that we are in. The time of restitution is upon us, brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you, Benjamin, as we go on, to consider also, maybe you may have a thought on this. I want to say something. The Jubilee has come. It's a time of restoration. And when you look at the appearance of Moses before Pharaoh, that is a very powerful statement that God is making, that God made at that time, that is very, very effective in our day. Now, when Moses came before Pharaoh, it was like a man coming with a two-edged sword. I mean, the Bible says the word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts this way and it cuts that way. So when Moses came into Egypt, it was good news for those God's people in captivity. It was good news for those God's people who have been under Pharaoh's slavery. But it was bad news for Pharaoh. So you mentioned the man-child, for example. And when you look at the scripture, some of the scriptures here that you sent out, when we look at Revelation 12, it's a very powerful word right there. We saw the woman clothed with the sun. She's standing on the moon. She has a crown of 12 stars upon her head, and she travailed in birth. And the dragon was standing right before her that he might devour her child as soon as it is born. Now, these are very important words. Now, we see a people presently that are being overshadowed by the presence of God. There is a people, as we speak, that are in the presence of God, giving everything to God, their lives, everything, everything. They are giving it to God. Their will, their mind, their desires, their emotions, they are giving everything to God. So this woman is pregnant with that kind of people. This is like a church inside a church. Now, she's going to give birth to these remnant people, these people that God is going to be allowed to be caught up into his presence, and they are going to receive a rod of iron, and they are going to rule and break down all these satanic operations. And this is just like the appearance of Moses before Pharaoh. And God sent this man with the rod of his strength as he's raising up the remnant in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. Everywhere you look, it is clear that the earth is in darkness. As Isaiah said, there's darkness upon the earth, and gross darkness is covering the people. So the hope that is in Zion is what everybody is looking out for. The only place of safety, the only place of power, the only place where man can be and be saved is in Zion. And that is the mountain of the living God. And that is why God is calling as many people as have been called right from the beginning to come into their closets and develop that relationship with God, that they might be equipped and that God might cover them. Even like Mary was covered and she brought for Jesus, that is the same way that God is going to cover a people this day, and they are going to bring forth the power, the glory, and the manifestation of God in this end time. So I really, really wanted to bring out that fact, going through the list of things that of scriptures that you sent about Revelation 12, and how it pertains to the remnant who are going to stand up in this end time in the midst of fierce opposition. Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. And the picture of Revelation 12, the woman crowned with 12 stars will appear in the heavens for the first time in the last 7,000 years this September. And the woman, of course, is the constellation of the Virgin, okay? And, you know, we're not into astrology here. The heavens declare the glory of God. Satan's a big counterfeiter and a big liar and a big theft. He's a thief. He steals whatever he can, and he tried to steal the message in the stars, and he created a counterfeit called astrology so the church would not realize the signs in the stars would herald the coming of the Lord. And so most Christians don't understand anything about the signs in the stars. They don't look at these things. They ignore the signs in the heavens, even though the Lord told us there would be signs in the stars. Well, this coming September, the woman who is crowned normally with 9 stars, the 9 stars from the constellation of the Lion of Judah, this year there will be 3 more planets in that constellation, and the crown will be complete with 12 stars, and the virgin will be with child. The planet that represents the king will be literally gestating in her womb, waiting to be born, and it's a perfect picture. It's a foreshadow, if you will. It is actually the manifestation of the prophecy of Revelation chapter 12. This will be fulfilled in our time this coming September. So, you know, the events of the book are beginning. Now, does that mean that the man-child will be born in September? I don't know. Does it mean that it's coming soon thereafter? You know, normally things are foreshadowed in the heavens before they occur, as a sign of what God is about to do. So I would, my opinion, I would venture to guess that the birth of the man-child will follow shortly thereafter. But, you know, praise God. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, is something that's been hidden from the ages. Now, I know that all Christians have been told that when you become saved, that you actually have the Spirit of God in your spirit. You have Jesus in you. And this is true if you're born again. If God's imparted his Holy Spirit into you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is in you. And the Holy Spirit of God seals your spirit. But in your flesh, you can still be very much in the world. And in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you can still have a whole lot of things that God needs to work out of you, which is a process called sanctification. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you are born again, you are justified. Legally, you are declared righteous. But you might still look and smell a whole lot like the pigs in the slop house, which is what the world looks like to God until God cleans you up. But a time is coming when the God that is in you is going to come in the fullness of all things. And I want to go back to King David and read briefly the words that he wrote in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And these are the last words of King David. This is his final prophetic utterance recorded in Scripture. And I'll read from verse 1. Now these be the last words of King David. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said to me, he that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, by clear shining after the rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all of my salvation and all my desire, although he makes it not to grow. Now, we could do probably a five-hour study on those five verses, but for tonight, suffice it to say, David was talking about the life of God that was going to spring forth out of his people as the light of the morning, and that this was the promise of our total redemption, in which we would be as he is. When he's finished the work in us, we would be as God. We would be restored to the perfect image of God, and our faces would reflect the glory of God, because we will be like he is when he's done with us. But in this time, and in this dispensation, if you will, although I'm not a dispensationalist in terms of their doctrines, David is making the point, although he makes it not to grow. God hasn't brought any of us to the fullness of these things yet. Many years ago, I would estimate perhaps 10 years ago, I was woken in the morning by the sound, the voices of angels speaking in my bedroom, and they were very loud. But the thing that was amazing about these angels is their voices sounded as trumpets. They trumpeted. They didn't just talk, and they weren't. Their voices were very loud. You would have to say that they were shouting a declaration, and one angel was on one side of the bed, and the other was on the other side of my bed. And I woke up, and the first angel trumpeted, and he said, "Do you know what time it is?" And it literally sounded like a trumpet, with the trumpet notes forming words. And I can't speak like a trumpet and at the same time speak in English, but angels do this. It's even in the book of Revelation where it says an angel trumpeted, and then it quotes what he said. So angels can speak with the voice of a trumpet. But the first angel trumpeted, "Do you know what time it is?" And the second angel responded and said, "It is time for the light of the morning to break through." And this phrase, these words, the light of the morning, appear in Scripture in one place, here in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And they represent the light of the presence of God breaking through our humanity, breaking through the clay vessel, breaking through the barrier that has stopped the full power of God from being manifest in the life of the born-again believer. As David wrote, he makes it not to grow. None of us have been allowed into the fullness of the things of God in our sojourn on this planet. But that is about to change, and we're going to show you the reality of this as declared in Holy Scripture. God did not make the new creation in the life of every born-again saint. He did not make it grow until the time for the restoration of all things. This is our time, and it's the time known as the end of all flesh. It's also the time known as the time of the restitution of all things. And in this time, God is going to make the life of Jesus Christ grow in the life of the remnant to the fullness of all things. So one of the reasons the apostate church is going to be purified in the fire, and they're going to be taken through, well, let me be blunt with you, they're going through martyrdom. They're going to receive a crown of glory for not denying the Lord, but they're not going to see the glory that's going to come upon the holy remnant and upon the anointed ones, because the Lord deemed them not worthy to be part of this. Yes, they're saved. They've believed in Jesus. They're born again. But like Achan, they couldn't let go of their sin. They had to hide that wedge of silver in their tent. They had to hold on to their satanic entertainment. They had to keep their drugs. They had to keep their sexual sin. They had to keep their pornography. They had to keep whatever had them bound. It was keeping them from the fullness of the things of God. And so they're going to be purified in a fire, and they're not going to see the reality of this, the revelation of Jesus Christ in his people, until they're raised from the dead and they precede the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain will be caught up, and we'll meet the Lord in the clouds as well. And then we're all on to Jerusalem. So it's not like they're going to miss the kingdom. They're just going to miss the final fulfillment in this age, in which God makes it to grow. And we've got a lot of material. We're going to have a two-part program, but I want to skip forward, you guys, to a couple of the later scriptures, and then maybe we can go back to the rest of the detailed text in the second part of the show. But I want to read from Colossians 1, verse 26. Even so, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from past generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. The mystery. What mystery? Paul answers the question in the next verse, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known, he's making it known to us, his saints, what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in you, the hope of glory. God, the infinite God, with infinite power, infinite righteousness, infinite holiness, a light brighter than the sun in you, hidden in you. And he has not yet let it grow to its fullness. I've seen a taste of what the fullness of this glory looks like. And believe me, brothers and sisters, the anointed remnant are going to shake the earth. Everybody's so worried about what men might do unto us during the Great Tribulation, because the men of this world, they are going to be transformed into the devils that they worship. They're going to be transformed into the evil that they call good. And they're going to be turned over, and they're going to turn into the beast that they follow. But they're just wild beasts. They're just a creation. The anointed remnant are going to be transformed by the God that is in them. And the remnant shall be delivered by the power of God. The children of this ruined age will tremble in fear when the Lord appears within his anointed ones. And that's what Revelation 12 is all about. There appears a great wonder in heaven. It will appear in the heavens in September, on the 23rd of September, in the year 2017. A great wonder shall appear in the heavens. And the woman who represents Israel and the church, once again clothed with the sun, will be standing with the moon under her feet. And only now upon her head, the crown will contain 12 stars. and being with child. She's travailing. And the remnant, the anointed remnant, are in travail right now. They're pained to be delivered of the flesh. They're pained to be delivered of their sin. They're pained to be delivered of the bondage of this fallen creation, that the God that is within them could transform them utterly. And where is all of the travail coming from? Then there appears another wonder in heaven, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And his tail drew a third part of the stars, and he cast them to the earth. And he stood before the woman, ready to try to devour her child. And she brought forth a man-child, not a baby child, but a man-child, who would now rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child is pictured as caught up into God, into his throne. Their life is now hidden in God. And the woman who gave birth to the man-child, she will now flee into the wilderness, to the place prepared by God, where she will be provided for the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. That place is Jordan. And the remnant who are represented by the woman in this prophecy, they will remember the promises of God from the land of Jordan, in a very difficult time. Now, this promise of a birth, even a birth within the people of God, is not unique to Holy Scripture. It's not unique to Holy Scripture, brothers and sisters. In Micah chapter 5, verse 3, we read, "Therefore, he, the Lord, will give them up," which is Israel, "until the time that she which travails has brought forth." That's the reference to Revelation 12. The Lord is going to give up Israel, in a sense. He's going to let them go their own way until the woman of Revelation 12 has travailed and brought forth the man-child. Then the remnant of his brethren, the remnant of Jesus Christ, will return to the children of Israel, and they're all going to go to the place in the wilderness. Jesus himself talked to us about these things, but we did not understand his words. In John chapter 16, verses 20 to 23, look what the Lord said. "Verily I say unto you, you will weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice." And isn't that what's happening today? The church, the true believers, are weeping and lamenting, and the world is partying. "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow. The Lord's referencing what would be the prophecy of Revelation 12, which he would give unto John not many years hence. But he says, a woman in travail has sorrow because her hour has come. And so our hour has come. Some may say you've had a reprieve. Well, they will be shown to, that'll be proved to be false soon enough. Our hour is about to come. But as soon as you are delivered of the child, you will remember no more the anguish for the joy that a man has been born into the world. Now, therefore, you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. When the man-child is born, when the Christ in you is revealed in its fullness, we're not going to be asking the Lord what to do. You will have the mind of Christ. If you're part of the anointed remnant, you will know exactly what to do. You'll be led by the Holy Spirit without hindrance. Now, the Lord referred to this in Luke 17, and I just want to go through maybe two or three more scriptures, and then we can comment on them. In Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, he was demanded of the Pharisees, "When will the kingdom of God come?" And he answered them, and he said, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation." You're not going to see it. When the kingdom of God first comes, it's going to be invisible to the natural eye. Now, when Jesus comes at the end, it's going to be like a lightning across the sky, and every eye will see him, and then people will wail because of him. Revelation 1:7, the people will be full of fear. The second coming of the Lord in the clouds will be witnessed by the whole earth. But here the Lord is saying, the kingdom of God will first come without observation. Nor will they say, "Lo here," or "Lo there." The kingdom of God is within you. Christ in you. The God that's in you is going to bring the kingdom first in his people before the Lord comes to bring the kingdom to the earth. Luke 17, verses 22 to 25, the Lord goes on and he says, the days will come when you desire to see even one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. And they'll say to you, see here or see there, go not after them. You know, if they tell you, he's in Lakeland, forget it. If they tell you, there's a blessing in Toronto, forget it. The Lord told you, go not after them, nor follow them. For as lightning that lightens one part of heaven shineth to the other, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Then Luke 17, 28 to 30, likewise it will, as it was in the days of Lot, they will be eating, drinking. But on the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. Even so shall it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that word in Luke 17, folks, you got to pay attention to this. On the day when the Son of Man is revealed, he's going to be revealed as lightning. Now, it's going to take us part two to expand on what that means. But before the lightning crosses the heavens, the lightning is going to come out of the anointed remnant. And that word for revealed in Greek is apokalupto, and it means to take off the cover, to uncover and reveal what is already there. What is there? God is in you. God's going to take that cover off. People are going to see God in the remnant. The day when the Son of Man is revealed is going to be the same day when the abomination of desolation is revealed. If you study the discourse in Luke 17 and you compare it to Matthew 24, the Lord takes us to the same exact order of Scripture, wars, rumors of wars, you'll be hated of all nations. And in Matthew he says, on the day when the abomination of desolation is seen, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, don't even go into your house. In the account in Luke, he says, on the day when the Son of Man is revealed, don't even go into your house. So the Great Tribulation begins with the abomination of desolation being seen on the Temple Mount, the Antichrist revealed for who he is, all the nations of the world having already sworn allegiance to the beast, all become demon-possessed, and in the remnant, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man revealed. God taking the cover off, and his people now are walking in the fullness of the power and the presence of God. The Lord Jesus Christ will be in the camp of the remnant, in the presence of his people. God left us in the flesh, but now that the end of all flesh has come, God's going to reveal what he's put in his people. And on the day in which the Son of Man is revealed, Luke 17, 31, on that day, whoever's on the housetop, don't go into your house to get your stuff, because now begins the great tribulation. And now just read one more scripture, and thank you guys for your patience with me. In Ezekiel chapter 1, the creatures, the new creations that are brought forth by the prophetic writings are a sort of an allegorical type of the 144,000, an allegorical type of the anointed remnant. And they, and you need to really study Ezekiel 1. Go find the teachings on the book of Ezekiel if you want to get it into detail. But these creatures, when they move, they appear as a flash of lightning. And this is the anointed remnant who have these attributes of four faces. They appear as a man because they are men. They also appear as a lion because the Lion of Judah is in them. They appear with the attributes that represent the sovereign power and sovereign will of Almighty God. And when they move as the flash of lightning because it is God in them moving. Now, lightning is very fast. The flash of lightning moves 670 million miles per hour. Or across the horizon, if you see a flash of lightning, lightning can move across the horizon from east to west as far as your eye can see and back again 3,500 times in the blink of an eye. The anointed power of God is going to move 50,000 times faster than the fastest hypersonic missile that the Antichrist possesses.
Mm. Amen.
That is what the power of Jesus Christ is going to look like when it's revealed on the earth. Can you think about this? The anointed ones are going to move 50,000 times faster than hypersonic missiles.
Brother Benjamin, we are getting down to the end of this episode, and we're going to keep on with it in the next episode. Folks, I just wanted to bring a scripture up as we close out, because Benjamin, as you were reading this about it, reminded me in Jeremiah chapter 30, when it says, "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Folks, there is coming a birth in the remnant of God's people. Yes, there is going to be some travail. Just like when you're giving birth to a child, there is pain, but when the baby comes forth, the joy will come forth with it. God wants to do something in his people, in his remnant. He has a work for us to do, not to sit idle through this time of the end, but be in his army, working for the king, saving souls, and doing what our master has asked us to do, and that is to be about his business. And so with that, Brother Benjamin, we're going to pick you and Brother Michael up in the next episode, and this is Brother Frank from the Remnant Call saying goodbye and shalom.
Trumpet in Zion, someday on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.